You are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets associated with the metals. I'm Rob, alongside Tori and Miles, and together we have over 75 years of experience advising on and brokering the metals. Each week, the three of us will provide a technical analysis of the metals charts and cover the underlying fundamentals and news, which there is a lot of that today, that helps move and predict these markets. So without further ado, Miles, take us to the charts, brother.
Yeah, let's start there, but I may have to take a back seat this week because, good grief, there's a lot going on outside of the charts that we have to talk about. So we'll definitely jump into that here in a moment, but let's kick it off with a relatively, I don't want to say tepid week. A lot of volatility on the markets across the board, but a lot of numbers are going to sound real low, real small numbers percentage-wise compared to what we've been looking at for the last couple of months. So starting off with gold, gold up about a third of a percent, so basically flat. And we're sitting right now on the gold price about 4,080. So we have pushed back up above 4,000, got up over 4,100, sitting a little bit below 4,100 now. Silver, this is probably the biggest number across the board. Silver is down 3%. So gold's up slightly, silver's down about 3%. Currently sitting at $58.40, and that is stretching out the gold-silver ratio once again, pushing that number back up. Platinum, looking at some of the other white metals, platinum is down 1.8%, still under 1,600. It's currently at 1,575, 1,575 for platinum. Sister metal to platinum is palladium, and it's pretty much dead even, down a couple bucks, currently sitting at $1,206. Moving over to the equities market, quick glance at the S&P, which is also down about as much as gold. It's down about 0.33% at the moment, sitting at 7,482. And I hope we get some time. I do want to look at some of the stock market charts here in a little bit and some of the trends there. And finally, the US dollar is down 0.35%. So it seems like a running theme, all moving about the same percentage. The dollar was just under 101 when I was putting charts together here about half an hour ago, but it's popped back up above 101 here in the last 15 minutes, showing us a little bit of a climb. So we'll see what happens to the dollar here overnight by the time we post this show Thursday. So that's kind of it for the charts this week, guys. As far as short-term movement, a lot of volatility up and down, but not really any direction presenting itself. So fellas, where do we want to start? Because boy, there's a lot going on.
I'm really disappointed that our rally stalled. I mean, last week on our show,
I know, we were looking at 4,400, maybe 4,200, probably.
Oh, at least, yeah. I mean, we were close. Miles, you had some great charts and justifications for why we would have a technical bounce off of support. Mm-hmm. It happened. We bounced about $200 off of the low from the previous week.
Well, it got short-circuited by the Iran yo-yo.
Yes.
We're back at it again. It sounds like they're really going full bore now.
Totally. I mean, as we record here on Wednesday afternoon, we're getting updated news. But, you know, we are positive through six of the seven-day recap,
yep.
6 days. And obviously, that is the reason for the stall. We'll get into that later in the show. But we'll see if we can find a floor and resume that climb that we were witnessing. Because this negative report, I mean, gold's up a little bit, Miles, as you recap. But everything else was positive until this morning because of the market reaction strictly to the increased tensions again.
But at the same time, gold was actually down at around 4,025, 4,030, and it's back up to 4,080, even as things are heating up. So I'm actually looking at that positively. In the past, when tensions erupted like they did today, this afternoon, gold would be getting tanked. But now it seems to be just kind of moving sideways and actually higher, which is interesting.
Yeah, silver's rallied a little bit too.
Yeah.
You know, Miles mentioned the ratio swinging. Silver was down 4% to gold's 1.5 at the extremes that I saw earlier.
Yep.
And Now, silver's gained a lot of that back, about half of that back, but it's still down far enough to where that ratio is at 70. And where that goes, I mean, Miles, I know we've got some things to cover here. Gold, silver, we could almost repurpose last week's charts, really, because you showed such a great combination of factors that pointed to support and a little bit of a rally. And those factors are still intact. But starting with the ratio, the gold to silver ratio, I think this is really important for people to see how the metals do respond a little bit differently in the same market environment. This one happens to be geopolitical tensions creating economic concerns. So doing kind of this zoom in on that ratio and how we've reversed.
Well, and I haven't given up the ghost on the gold rise either. We had a, $260 rise in gold. We've had about a $170 pullback. That's just two steps forward, one step back in a short condensed time frame. And really anything above, let's say, 4,000, you know, 3,960 is going to continue us in that trend upwards. So I'm still betting on probably seeing 4,400, that range that we talked about last week, on a corrective move back up and then letting gold decide what it wants to do from there, come back down or keep pushing up. Now, the thing is as gold has been rising, and I think should continue to do so, silver is not quite keeping pace, seems to be the case. There's an interesting thing I've seen in my 20-ish years of working in the metals. When you have this period of markets can be broken into a couple different segments. And when you're in this consolidation period in the market where you're going to get sideways trading, or maybe you're going to start trending back towards the long-term trend in gold, which is a rising bull market amidst the rampant inflation, which is the primary reason to own gold. It's not how many US dollars is my gold worth, it's how many US dollars is everything else costing me because of inflation, and what can I do to insulate myself a little bit from that inflationary pressure. So long term, the expectation for gold is a methodic rise up to counteract what's happening to the decline of the US dollar over the last 50 years. And when you're in that slow grinding period, silver's just not exciting. You know, silver is the alternative to gold. It's the thing people get interested when they say, and I've said this 100 times over the last 20 years, people buy silver when gold is too expensive for the average person to buy it. Holy smokes, what do you mean gold is X? I can't afford that. What's cheaper? So you tend to see silver get really exciting for people towards the end of a major push, when everything's real exciting and everybody wants to get involved and everyone wants to jump on the bandwagon, and the gold bandwagon is just starting to outprice people, they dive into silver. So when you have the slow, methodic, grinding price going up, like we're starting to see, what do we see? The ratio is starting to move up as well too. So when you take a look at this ratio chart here, we are knocking on the door of pushing above that 70 mark, pushing out of the trading range in the gold-silver ratio that we saw us dip down into. And that doesn't mean it can't turn back down. You know, for those of us that are sitting there hoping to get a much better gold-silver ratio play back down in the 50s, the 40s, maybe the 30s, I don't think so. I never have, but maybe it does. Sure, that certainly could happen. We could see something significant happen here that drives the price of gold up, drives the price of silver up. And in that real emotional, you know, fervor for the metals, silver beats gold. And we see it happen time and time again. And now all of a sudden, the ratio is way back down there. But if we're going to start building a base here around, let's say, 3,500 to 4,500 gold. You know, I know that's a big range, but somewhere in the range where we're at now, this is where we firmly put our foot on the floor and we get prepared for that next major push up in metals that is farther down the road than we want it to be. But we're going to get punched in the face by it sooner than we realize, just like what happened last year, 2025, and ended early 2026. So if we're starting this methodic grind period again, it's very likely gold beats silver, And we may see that 100-to-1, 110, 120-to-1 ratio again going forward. Now, again, I'm looking at a very tiny week or two reaction and trying to extrapolate out what the next 6 or 9 months looks like. And that's very hard to do. But I think it is, you know, just an example of it as we're starting to see gold have a little bit of a rebound here, not due to emotional panic buying, but just healthy trading reversals based on some technical indicators we looked at last week. And lo and behold, gold's beating silver. So I'm not surprised at all.
And I think that we saw gold dip below the 65-week moving average earlier this morning. We are now back at it. I think that slow grinding movement of gold rising with the 65-week is very much in the cards.
Well, as we said last week, that's always a safe place to
always
add to ounces.
Always a safe place, yeah.
You've got, again, other technical support lines aligning here, you know, other factors. And Miles, get into the ratio discussion too. I mean, you talked about maybe the gold-silver ratio starts climbing back towards 100. It doesn't need to. You know, like if we look over the past couple of years, look at the sideways chop in the mid-80s in the ratio. We're at 70-to-1, meaning gold is 70 times the price of an ounce of silver. And if we just go to the mid-80s, that's back to the 10-year average. The 10-year average is 81. So we're still 10 points below the 10-year average ratio, even if we don't go to 100. It looks to me, based on the charts, based on the ratio, that the ratio has bottomed and we have reversed. And now can't you start to analyze this, Miles? You're saying that could potentially be representing a breakout just in the ratio.
Could be. It's possible. I'm looking at the ratio chart now. I'd want to see us pushing up and above that, let's say 71, 72 reversal high that we put in back in the beginning of February. Mm-hmm. Once we get above there, we could end up stair-stepping back up to that range you're talking about. You know, we sat between 75 and 95 for what, 4 years?
Yeah.
Post-COVID.
Yeah, long time.
So we certainly could see something like that. The other thing we could see is that same type of trading range sideways where we're at the top of it now at 70, you know, 70, 71. And then we drop back down to 55.
Good point.
And then we come back up to 75 and we drop back to 60. Then we come back up to 75 or 80, we drop back to 60 or 65. So there's a lot of ways the market could play
out. Yeah, but what's going to drive the momentum for silver? Come on. What is going to ignite the silver market? I don't see the momentum in silver. I do for gold.
Nope.
Okay. That's what I'm looking at. And understand, we are through June. We are now comfortably in July. If there was the low month of the year, it's June, we're out of that seasonality downturn. I'm getting pretty optimistic on the future for gold. I think we will go back to 4,200 and retest 4,400. And like you said, Miles, we'll see what gold wants to do from there. The only thing that could be a fly in the ointment is a major sell-off on the stock market, and then we're going to have a 1 or 2 week drop in the metals.
That's where the supports fail.
Yeah.
If we have a major stock market bear market start to kick in, well, then the metals will, in the short term, probably follow suit.
Yeah.
And you're right. That would blow all these charts out of the water, and it would be the next fundamental reason that's driving the technicals down to the next support levels that Miles would point out. And I agree with you. I'll tell you, the monetary aspects of gold are why you're bullish.
Yeah.
The headwinds created by this now increased tensions, this all happened because Trump came out and said that the agreement is over and he doesn't want to work with them anymore. They're scum. And now, as we're speaking, we're firing missiles at him. Not only that, but Scott Bessent came out in his press conference today and said, look, because Iran fired on other neighboring countries, they now have opened up regime bank accounts to the U.S. Treasury. So now the U.S. Treasury is freezing Iranian regime bank accounts. That's something that hadn't happened before. So this time's different. And we have the Gerald Ford now off the coast of Israel, not in the Gulf, not where you would think from an offensive standpoint it would be. Okay. That's the Lincoln. The Lincoln now is in an offensive position and the Ford is in a defensive position with Israel. So for the first time since the Pacific Theater in 1945, we have an offensive and defensive splitting of our U.S. naval assets in a study. And so I was kind of thinking this morning, like, oh, this too shall pass pretty quickly.
I don't think so.
Now I don't think so. So now it goes back to what we talked about, the major headwinds for gold. Like, I understand your bullishness, or at least your stability thinking for gold,
yeah,
versus instability for silver. Rising bond yields. The bond yield spiked again today. Gold should be dropping. U.S. dollar went back up to 101 on the dollar index.
Gold should be dropping, yeah, but it's not.
Now you've got oil spiking again. So gold inflation concerns rise again. Gold should be dropping. So the same thing that you described, Rob, from the 3 months, 3.5 months that we have already gone through, that gave us optimistic outlooks last week as to why we'd be bouncing, and now the rug's pulled out again. And I do think that election be sacrificed, the way this is coming across and sounding, is that we're in for a long grind here potentially. And I could be wrong. If this is short-lived, then the metals will rebound right back. But silver, it needs a raging GDP. It needs disinflation for its ideal environment. Neither of those are on the horizon right now. And then it needs a lot of physical demand that comes with economic activity. And people can speculate all they want that it's going to be solar panels and Tomahawk missiles and EV batteries and the shortage.
And AI.
And AI and data centers. Those are all true fundamentals for silver, but it's a matter of when.
And when we talk about the vulnerability of the stock market, because it did react negatively to what's happening just in the last few hours. But Bill King brought up a very interesting point this morning in his report, and I'm going to quote, this is Bill King saying this, "I think there's a good chance that the Fed will buy equity ETFs in the next major downturn to support the market, and it will be common practice going forward because China and Japan are already doing this." And then one of the Bloomberg commentators said the U.S. stock market has arguably become too big and too important to fail. It's basically America's retirement fund now, and possibly even the savior of Social Security, which is expected to run out of money in less than 10 years. So there is possibly a safety net underlying the stock market here in the U.S. going forward.
Well, for the 20th straight month, China just had net imports of gold and boosted their reserves. That's been the floor in the gold market. The East has been the buyer of the physical metals.
And
the West has not been. Yep, we've been the seller, or the one that's been allowing China to import. And likewise, you're seeing with the stock market, you guys, this is a paradigm shift. It's been going on, but if you think about it, every pension plan, whether it be state, federal, whether it be hedge funds, whether it be managed money,
IRAs, 401ks,
they're all buying these equity ETFs, these index funds, on a monthly basis. It's new money coming out of payroll, going into these accounts. They're buying perpetually, and you're constantly putting a floor in the equities markets because you're buying these ETFs, like for the NASDAQ 100, I think the QQQ, and it goes and it buys all 100 companies, which is now what SpaceX is in. So every month they've got massive buyers coming to the table as part of a set it and leave it, out of sight, out of mind type of investment.
In addition to the possibility of the Fed directly intervening via the ETF market.
Yes, and that's a great point that Bill King makes.
Well, and to a staggering percentage, Tori, because you looked the number up for us earlier when we were talking about it. And what was that percentage again? It was because I asked the question.
48%. I'm stealing Tori's thunder.
Oh, just taking Tori. Well,
it was 47.
I gave him credit before.
No, I'm just kidding.
It was 48. Yeah, get it right, bro.
He even got it right. He stole it and he got it right. No, it is. I mean, think about that. 48% of private investment monies are in those
ETFs.
Equity funds. Yeah. Yeah, those general funds.
Yeah, well, minus the 1% a year you pay your financial advisor to put you into those ETFs.
That's
to
right.
Basically do nothing.
To do nothing. They don't manage it. Like McIlvany Wealth Management has this constant, ongoing, twice a week management, moving in, moving out, and eyes on, hands on, very effortful approach.
Oh, yeah. They track, what, 60 or 70 companies. They look into their reports. They do all their own investing.
Moving into cash, out of cash, back into value.
Those poor guys, all they do is sit in meetings all day long.
Yeah. And then they could just, do like the rest of the investment world, investment advisor world.
Yeah, just put it in an ETF and get your 1%.
Yeah. Kick back and take three lunches.
Yeah, why do any research when you can just buy everything? Just buy a little bit of everything. That worked out so well in 2008 when the everything bubble. But we're making jokes. And I think the point here you said a second ago that I want to highlight, and I think people need to hear this sentence again. I think Rob said it. I could be giving Rob more credit for stuff Tori did. But I think, Rob, you said, we're constantly putting a new floor into the market. No, Tori said that, didn't he? Let's give the credit to Rob.
No. So somebody China has been doing it with gold. Rob said the ETFs have been doing it in the equities markets.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And explain that concept, because I think that's important to understand. And the reason I'm mentioning this is I think one of the most common phone calls I keep getting from people is, why isn't the stock market crashing? Mm. And that might be the answer. So give like a 2-sentence explanation of what that means, because I want people to hear this.
Well, I mean, it's like we've already said, there's so much new money going into pensions, 401s, IRAs, flooding into the stock market. And half of that is just exchange traded funds, the ETFs. Then you also have over and above the Federal Reserve. And I'm sure Bill King knows what he's talking about when he says very likely they will intervene in a stock market correction. And they too will buy into the exchange traded funds, that they buy one of everything.
And that is the buyer of last resort. It's no different than buying our debt. That's what the Federal Reserve does, is when our debt's expensive and we don't have buyers, the Federal Reserve buys. They add to their balance sheet. So who cares who the buyer is, as long as you're juicing the market on a consistent basis, which actually makes sense as to why, when asked about the economy, the president and his administration are always saying, look at the stock market.
Yeah, look at stocks. Stocks are doing great.
Stocks are doing great. And they want that to be the economic barometer, rather than it being GDP expansion and employment, the labor markets and the inflation numbers. Yeah. They want it to be all about the equities markets, because they know now that's much easier to control. And in fact, we know that it's more effective than cutting rates now.
Yeah.
Like, the rate cuts have kind of been exhausted in their effect. And so for the Federal Reserve, instead of cutting rates, which we, because of inflation, know they can't do, they can go buy assets, baby. And that's very stimulative in a lot of different ways. And indirectly, the healthier the companies are, it does have a trickle-down effect into the labor market, into tax revenues, into GDP expansion.
Sure.
So it is a secondary way of stimulating. It's just nothing that, typically has been followed.
That's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, head on over to McElvaney.com. That's McElvaney.com, where you can find additional information and shows. Most importantly, our phone number, if you'd like to give us a call and have a consultation. We are best reached at 1-800-525-9555. And if you like to poke around the edges, you can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McElvaney Financial. Thanks again for listening. Hope you have a great week.